What's up, Mark?
Not much. I thought I'd come in here and sort of give you my experience on going through the apprenticeship process.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So, was it well, good? Not, oh, yeah. Yay, nay, bad.
So, I'm going to sort of outline, we're going to be really quick today, and I'm just going to sort of outline my experience. So, take from it what you will, but this
But it's good to hear firsthand experience.
Exactly. And sort of, I know when I was going through the apprenticeship process, probably like over a decade ago now. And now I'm an owner going through the apprenticeship process as opposed to an apprentice. And these are some of the things that like I kind of ran into because I believe in excelling my guys and I want my guy to become a Mason and I want to kind of pass the torch on and so forth. So giving back to the trade and whatnot and going through the right channels.
I'll just be make sure on this show that I'll just upset all the Bostonians out there and I will pronounce it process. You can pronounce it process. I'll pronounce it process, okay. Matt. So Mark Fraser's back here, Craig Moore Construction. Any other information you want me to share?
No, if you want to look, we've done a bunch of shows. Yeah. I've been on the show a bunch.
Several times.
Like I said, I just want to use this platform to sort of tell you what my experience has been as a Mason going through the apprenticeship process and just any anybody else who's thinking about signing up an apprentice, maybe these are some of the sort of pitfalls you're going to run into.
Of course, right?
You know,
but I'd love to know to get started with why. Why did you finally decide that you needed to get somebody to come on board? So, at what point in your career were you thinking, okay, now this is where my business has got to go?
So again, I believe in passing the torch. I want to pass on my knowledge. The guy that's been with me, he's been with me for about a year. I want to give him something besides just his wage. I want to give him a trade. Okay. I want him to be able to look at walls the way I look at walls. And he's kind of shown that through his really hard work ethic and so on and so forth. And if he stays with me for his whole career, that would be fantastic. But I might as well go through the process while I'm young in case I also have to train somebody else because he decides to go and do his own thing, which if he does, that'd be great. But I hope he does it with me. That's just kind of...
Have you had all these open conversations with him?
Yes, I have.
Nothing's on the table, like off the table.
No, you, no. So you discuss it. And I'd even be willing to like even punt him small work and stuff like that as well. Because it's not about... My business is going to be fine. I'm going to make my money on the larger projects because we are starting to quote larger projects. We're also... We have a really good network. So I'm not really... I don't see it as competition anymore. I see it as we're all in the same... place, and we all need to work together, you know.
Community.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd like to see more of that in construction. I think that's really lost these days.
Just a quick question. How did that church go?
Which one?
The one that I saw in the summer. Was it the summer?
Oh, the...
what church was that?
Is it the one down here in Oakville?
I think so.
Yeah, so we're actually going to be back there this year again. Yep, more work.
Nice.
We got this second next... we're restoring the... another section of the stained glass window. We're going to be redoing another pillar, just sort of bringing it up. But I got to be honest, the thing that's kind of driving us these days, and this is something I'm saying to clients, is when we first started that church, it was about 5 years ago. Prices for materials have gone up.
A lot.
So now, unfortunately, with projects like this, because the materials have gone up, the work has to get less. Because my materials are cutting into the cost of the actual job because they only have a certain
budget. They have a budget.
Exactly. So
does it just get pushed to the next year?
Yes, it does. And then maybe it adds another phase to the building. And that's sort of one of the downfalls of these high prices of materials is now you're getting, when you're on a budget, you kind of get less work, more money.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with me. I would love to just restore it front to back and create all that stuff, but... Again, like when my bricks go from $2 to $5 to $6 a brick, Ibstock right now, I can get it directly from a distributor for, I believe it's $260, but I have guys out in Hamilton that are charging as much as $6.
A brick.
Yeah, because they have distribution rights and they get it from them and then they have to charge the freight. The freight's what's killing it.
I never think I would ever see a $6 brick.
I know. And blocks are also going up. Blocks, I think an 8-inch right now is anywhere from $5.50 to $6. Just the block for an 8-inch that's buried, never seen. So like, my grandfather was making them autoclave for like 80 cents.
Yeah.
And shaking the cement in the pressure.
It's going to continue to go up?
Yes, I think so.
There's no signs of it going down.
Well, the only way that I think it'll go down is if we decide to start shipping back our own products, because a lot of our products go to the States.
Yeah, of course.
And now with, every, you know, what's I don't want to say it, but yeah. The word tariff, right? I think Canadian manufacturers are going to have to start looking at Canada as an actual client, and they're going to have to start sort of raking back those building materials and looking at building our industry. So I actually think the tariffs are good. I think that they're actually going to really help us either increase international trade relations or allow us to actually build for cheaper, because now it's not, we're shipping it across the border anymore.
It'd be nice to see that.
And then also, if you break down the provincial borders as well, now you have shipping across Canada, that will also add to the value of it. And then that's money in dollars, Canadian dollars, changing in Canada.
Yeah.
Which, again...
Which is good when the dollar's at crap.
Yes, it is. No, it's true.
Majorly at crap.
Exactly.
Again, so close to a 50-cent dollar.
Yeah. I think I saw 44 or 48 the other day on one of the dips. So, you know, but again, if all these materials are really moot point, if you don't have the people to lay them, if you don't have the people to put them in the wall.
That's it.
And that's, again, another reason why I've decided to embark on this journey. And it's a headache. I'm going to say it's a headache. I've been on the phone. I've lost days just being on the phone.
You're talking about the apprenticeship route?
Yes. Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just dealing with
dealing with the admin. So I'll give you sort of.
Let's get into it.
Yeah. So let's go. So I wanted to sign my guy up. I said, I'll look into it for you. I'll take this on. And we're a small enough company that I can be the spearhead. Okay. So
who's this guy? How old is he?
So he's my helper, Stefan, and he is 38.
Okay.
Yeah. He's been with me for a year, just kind of helping me out. I've let him lay some bricks here and there. He's actually not bad on the trowel.
What was he doing before?
So he worked in a warehouse, as a forklift operator.
So this is his first trade job.
Yes. Hmm. Well, he did roofing for a bit.
Okay.
And then he did a little bit of like fence construction, but he's already told me, he's like, I don't really consider those my construction jobs because working with you is so much different. Than working with them, because them, they just drop you with the tools and they're like, go. He's like, you actually are next to me, showing me things, telling me why these things are happening. And as his understanding has increased and I've sort of imparted knowledge on him, he can now look at a wall and be like, oh, okay, so that's happening because of this. And he also comes up with his own ideas on things. So he'll be like, well, what if we do it this way? And I'm like, and I'm always open to suggestion. So I'm like, that's a great idea. Let's try it. And we try it and it works. I'm like, so
how did you guys cross paths?
So he actually just called me. We were part of the same friend group and he just called me out of the blue and he's like, listen, I'm looking for a job. And I said, okay, you know what? Like I could use some help because I had a couple chimney jobs coming up and a few things that are high up where I need an extra set of hands. And I said, sure, I'll give you a shot. And then he showed up on time, showed up one. Has his own car.
One brownie point.
All right. On time. He's never been late. Three. If anything, I've been late. So then it's because like I got to grab materials or I had to see a quote or something like that. But he always shows up. I can leave him alone on site. He can clean up. You know, I gave him his own set of tools. So like he doesn't have to borrow mine. And again, I treat him fair. If he needs a day off, I give him the day off. If he needs like, you know, if he needs to do this or has some responsibilities.
These are good things. These are good points.
These days you can't beat him into submission anymore. And no. I've never been a believer in that because that's what happened to me. And I don't want to continue that sort of vicious cycle. I want him to want to come and work for me. You know, it's one of these things where like, life is already hard as it is. The work doesn't have to be harder.
Yeah.
I don't have to make it. And again, like I wish, like we keep on going back around, but this is what I wish sort of the government entities that are controlling the apprenticeship program would also take on into consideration. So I embarked on this with Stefan 1 year. I said, you want to be an apprentice? I said, think about it because I'm going to take care of your schooling. Like I'm going to pay for it. And that's totally fine. And I'll pay for the textbooks and I'll check in on you and I'll make sure like you're taken care of. So he's like, yes. So that's when this whole process started. So I contacted the ministry and the ministry said, okay, so who are you? And I said, well, we're Craigmore Construction. This is our business number, so on and so forth. Very like linear, right? And they said, okay, what you need is you need a sponsorship ID number. And I said, okay.
What is that?
And I said, okay, so what documents do I need? And they said, no, it's not a document. What you need to do is you need to talk to Skilled Trades Ontario. Okay.
Okay.
And I was not aware of Skilled Trades Ontario. And I also wasn't aware that the Ministry of Labor has also become the Ministry of Immigration at the same time. And I don't know when that occurred. So the Ministry of Labor right now is also running side by side with the Ministry of Immigration.
Yeah, that makes no sense, but
The way that I see it making sense is when they had people immigrate in here, they had to place them into jobs. So it would make sense that the Ministry of Labor would be able to do that, but they don't control the job banks. So they control more regulation. So I think that was like a little bit of a misstep. But again, I didn't have enough time to look into that, but it's just, I find it very interesting how those two went side by side. And that also bogs them down too. So now they can't police, they can't regulate, they can't do anything because they're dealing with how much immigration have we had in the last?
Over 4 million.
Exactly. So they've been overloaded. So in walks STO, Skilled Trades Ontario, which I don't know if you remember, the College of Board and Trade.
Yeah,
So what they did is actually the College of Board and Trade dissolved because they actually found that they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. So they went away. Ministry of Labor took on all the responsibilities. And now all of a sudden we have a new package, the STO, Skilled Trades Ontario. This is how it all kind of relates.
So for you to get into that room, you need a sponsorship number.
Yes, I need a sponsorship number. In order to get a sponsorship number, I have to contact Skilled Trades Ontario. Okay, fine. Hang up the phone with the ministry. Call Skilled Trades Ontario.
Yeah.
They say, here's some links. I go online. I go through the process. I need this specific number. I cannot get past this, like the second step of the application process to get my number, my sponsorship number, without getting a number from the ministry. Yes, exactly. So I call STO and I say, I'm trying to be a sponsor. I'm trying to get my ministry ID number or my sponsorship number. They're saying I need to sign up with you in order to get that number. And when I told her this, she says, well, you actually have to call the ministry back so that we can release a number to you, an STO number, so that you can finish your application on our end so that we can double check it with the ministry and then we can send it to you. So, and I'm going, okay.
Did you follow that?
Yeah. So what I did is I looked at her and said, so what you're telling me is they passed me off to you and now you're passing it back to them. And I said, you know, I'm a big advocate for trades. I really want my apprenticeship to go to school. You guys are making this extremely difficult.
What was the response there?
She said, well, what I think you should do is you should call the ministry back. This is literally her words.
I don't care what you think I should do.
This is literally her response. Call the ministry back, demand to speak to a supervisor there, because clearly the person you talked to wasn't competent because we cannot help you.
So that's one governing body telling you about another governing body.
So I finally call, so I go, okay. Obviously it frustrated at this point. I said, okay, so what you're telling me is I need to call the ministry back after they told me to call you.
How many times have you called back both bodies?
I've lost count. So I hang up the phone. I finally reached out to the ministry and I called them and I said, here's my dilemma. And this is what has just occurred. Now, luckily the person that I got in touch with, I think her name was Caitlin. Fantastic. I've actually dealt with her before. And she was great.
Okay.
And she goes, okay, so who are you in this whole apprenticeship process? Is that I'm the company that's trying to sponsor an apprentice. She goes, this is how it would actually work better for you. Get the apprentice to call us, okay?
Okay.
Register with us. When he registers with us and we give him his number, we'll flag your company as you're not a sponsor in our system, and then we'll send you the proper documentation.
But you still require a sponsor number.
Yes. So my apprentice, this is how the process works for them. They want the apprentice to approach the ministry and say, I would like to be an apprentice. And they go, great. Who do you work for? And then they give them the company name.
Yes.
And then they go and they hunt us basically. And they go, oh, are you or are you not a sponsor?
Okay.
And they'll find out if you are or you're not. In this case, we weren't.
This is just verifying.
Yeah. So they come in and they go, okay, these guys aren't a sponsor. Then they'll send me the sponsorship stuff that I need in order to get my ID number. Once they have that, then they can register the apprentice. Okay. And then he can take that and then go and register for school.
Okay.
Okay. So...
Hey, homeowners and businesses, are you looking for top-notch tile and stone services you can trust and count on? Consider the expert tradesperson behind the Tile Guy GTA, Omid himself. He takes pride in delivering quality service and professional installation on time and on budget. From mosaics to large slabs to custom niches and miters, the Tile Guy GTA has you covered. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Omid and the team at the Tile Guy GTA are your go-to professionals for all your tile and stone needs. From full waterproofing solutions of every possible product to the finish, grouting details, even a hint of design recommendations when the client needs to hear the truth. Call the Tile Guy GTA today, 647-716-5062, or email them at thetileguy.gta@gmail.com. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
What you're basically doing is you're taking the apprentice and putting him first, putting the sponsor second, and then we're able to go to school. But in order for any of that stuff to happen, I still need my ID number.
But at that point, those three steps, getting ready for school, you have not received your sponsorship number.
I haven't.
But he's received his
apprentice identification. Yes.
So now you're waiting on your sponsorship number so then he can actually enroll in school.
Yes.
And that's what you're in a waiting process.
Yes. So because I'm resilient and because I don't get paid unless the job gets done, I followed up probably every week for a process of about 4 weeks, sending one email a week to our ministry in catchment, like officer, like the person who deals with all the apprenticeships in our area in Hamilton. Okay. She was extremely responsive and she was great. So she was like, okay, in order for you, so once you have all this information, they send the sponsorship ID out. We got that, but that comes through the STO portal, who we've had no real dealings with.
You haven't spoken to.
And haven't spoken to since our first interaction when they passed the buck off to the ministry. It gets better. In speaking with Caitlin, the STO is going to actually be taking over all of the apprentices from the Ministry of Labor. So they're going to be, yes. So when? They're April 9th.
Oh, so this hasn't happened
yet. No, it hasn't happened yet, but it's happening very soon. I called them back in January when I talked to Caitlin and I said, Caitlin, she told me to call you based on this. She basically said, that is troubling because they're supposed to be taking over for us in a month and a half. And they're still passing the buck back to us. So that doesn't really instill a lot of confidence in me, as I don't think it would instill a lot of confidence in a lot of people as to the competency of this new sort of Skilled Trades Ontario taking over for the ministry.
What's the reason why the takeover? They want the skills, the STO, to handle all this stuff now?
Yes.
So now they're segregating the two departments.
So now you're basically creating another board of college and trade, just calling it something completely different with, again, what I believe is incompetent people. Fight me on it, because the thing is, you've already proved your incompetency because you've basically passed the buck to guys that aren't going to basically be handling any of your problems in a month and a half. And you haven't trained your people enough to allow them to basically take on and answer these questions.
You're explaining all this and I'm just trying to think of, how do you streamline all this? Why do we need the employer to have a sponsorship number?
I ask myself the same thing. And also, me as a sponsor, the way I see it going, it shouldn't be my apprentice applying.
No, to get it should be you.
It should be me. Yeah. I should be able to walk in, get my sponsorship number. This is the way I see it going, okay? Call me crazy. Maybe I'm just too efficient. I go for my sponsorship number. I give my apprentice my sponsorship number. He uses that same number, applies to the ministry. They go, yes, that's the sponsor. That's the company. Boom, here you go. And then I take that number and then go to school.
Yeah, that seems better.
But I hate to say it, somebody's cousin second remove needs a fucking job in the government.
What's going on?
That's the only explanation I have, is that it's creating busy work. It's creating jobs in government entities. And I'm not trying to hate on the government, but if something's going to run so inefficiently or add more steps, then all you politicians out there that are saying we need tradesmen, you're talking out of your ass. You're pissing on my head and telling me it's raining. And I'm getting real sick and tired of it as a small business owner.
So how much time have you, this is over what period of time now, a month?
So I started in January and I just got my enrollment for my guy And I just got my ministry ID number last week.
So it took 2 months.
2 months. And I was, and by the way, I was pushing too. I was constantly in contact. I was constantly calling them. And the thing is, that's only because right now in the winter, I take it off. And that's when I do, and that's when I do all my admin. But if I was running my businesses, if this was in the middle of summer, good fucking luck. And then they're like, oh, I wonder why retention is so low. I wonder why people aren't signing up for apprentice, for being an apprentice. These are the reasons. And also, English is my first language. I'm not the most tech savvy person in the world, but could you imagine being like a European where English isn't your first language, trying to navigate? Yeah. It's very challenging, extremely challenging. I'm finding it challenging. So my heart goes out, and then they're like, oh, trades
are
dying.
Is the person on the other end English?
Yes, they are.
English, English?
No. I hate to tell you that. I think your name was, you know, I don't know, like Shusmita or something like that. I hate to say okay. it, but like that's what it was. And they didn't, but I don't care where you're from in the government.
I don't care where you're from.
Want you to do your job.
You need to communicate the correct information with the correct words, with the least amount of accent attached to
and,
it.
And the thing is, so when I called the OMTC, and we were given a certain set of numbers, 3 to be exact, okay? So there was, I had my sponsorship ID through the STO portal, as well as a trade agreement number through the STO portal, because now everything from the ministry ports over into this portal now. Okay. So we sign up with the ministry. Ministry exchanges information into this thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have a set of 3 numbers. When we're enrolling through the school for the, through the OMTC, the admin there reaches out to me and she goes, we need a ministry client ID number. And I go, okay, it's probably one of these 3. I literally sent her 3 emails with 3 different numbers. She's like, it'll start with a 2, a 3, or a 10,000. And I said, okay, that's fine. Sender 1 starts with a 2, 248 something. That's not the right one. Sender the second one. That's not the right one. We're pulling this all off of the SEO website.
So she says it's either going to start with the 3 options that you have.
Yes. So I go, okay, here you go. Sender 1, I'm like, this has got to be it because it says right here, trade agreement. And that's the number that you need when you send me the application. It says like RTC something. Here you go. Send it. That's not the right one. Send her the second one. That's not the right one. I go, the only other number is this one. Send it. That's not the right one. And I go, okay, well, I call her and I say, these are the 3 numbers that are given and generated to us by the STO, who are taking over for the ministry in a month.
So which number is it?
Okay. So which one is it? And she goes, I had no idea that the SEO was taking over for the ministry. And I go, so you mean to tell me that the governing body that's dealing with all of this has been taken over by another governing body? This is extremely frustrating for me, by the way. And they haven't contacted you?
No.
No. Where are we? What world are we living in? I thought we were screaming for trades workers here.
Yeah.
I thought we were trying to make things easy, because last time I checked, the best path is the path of least resistance. So why are you guys putting up all these fucking roadblocks and making it more difficult for me? And why does the SEO even exist? Because here's the kicker. I finally contacted again back to the ministry. I've only contacted the SEO once just to have them pass the buck to the ministry. That's the only time I've interacted with them. Everything else has been interacting with the ministry.
But you reached out to them for what purpose? You wanted to get more insight on how this all works?
The only reason why I reached, out to the ministry.
No, the skills.
Oh, skill. No, the only reason I did that is because I was instructed by the ministry. This is the path to take. Yes.
But then they
pass it back.
Dude, I would have gave up a long fucking time ago.
Right? So I'm sitting here going, again, screaming for trades. We need houses. Tradesmen, tradesmen, tradesmen. That's all I've been hearing for the last 4 years. And you guys can't streamline this fucking process. The only thing I will say is it's all online. But the issue with that is things get lost in the mix and it takes longer for people to get back to you. So like when I'm sending an email, if it has a wrong number attached to it, that's not coming back for 2-3 days. Yeah. It's not like instant.
Is there a physical bricks and mortar that you can walk in? to do this?
For SEO, I'm not too sure. I know I can walk into the Ministry of Labor office at my in my town. But again, it's probably in one of the Service Ontario places. And you
know what the line
you
know what the line too.
Again, a day. Let's look at this in terms of days. A day, a day, a day, a day. What business owner right now in this given economy can spend 4 weeks walking in and out of government buildings?
So, Mark, like, what's the purpose of you having your employee become a government apprentice?
What's the purpose? Because the hours that he works towards with me gets him his standardized testing, so eventually he can write his CQ and get his red seal.
So that's the purpose.
That's the
objective,
yes.
is to get certified.
Yes.
Right? So, and you can't get certified any other way.
No.
You have to go through this schooling.
Yes. You have to go through a schooling that they choose, that they fund, in order to do it. But again, what I'm learning is the entry into this is extremely difficult and extremely time consuming, and it shouldn't be that way.
The processing
and the process is so, like, I want to get shit done.
Yeah.
I want it done in a week. And you can't, and the only reason you can, you know, tell me that it's not going to be done is because you're fucking lazy.
Okay. So the school that he would go to.
Yes.
Where is that school?
So there's three campuses for the OMTC. One is in Cambridge. I was unaware of that one. There's one in Ottawa, in Orleans, and then there's one in Mississauga, and that's the one I went to.
So why can't we just mosey on into the school, and you as the employer, him as the apprentice, fill out the fucking docs. Done.
That's a very good question. That's a very good question.
You eventually have to get to the school. So whether those are the three locations in this circle of where your options are, why can't you just roll in there? I'm the boss. This is my business. Here's my license.
Here's my business number.
Yes.
Here's where I pay taxes.
Yeah, everything. And then here's the person that I want to have enrolled in here. Just fucking do it there.
If they do a version of that, it's probably one time a day. They don't advertise it. Yeah, it's probably one time they'll have somebody come in with all the right documentation. But if I roll in there into the office and I say, hi, I'm here to sign somebody up, they'll say, here is a card for the person of the ministry you're supposed to talk to, or here is the, or where are you from? And you go, I'm from here. Well, you need to talk to them because we don't take your registration here. And again, I
why agree. Wouldn't you take the registration here?
Because that's not how we do things, because we've been doing things this way as long as possible. Because again, somebody's second cousin needs a fucking government job. That's what it comes down to.
So look at it as a business owner. So you're a business owner. You got a client. You get a client who's interested in hiring you. Are you going to send your client to an online form that's going to fill out all this shit, and then you'll eventually show up on their job site when they hire you? No, doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
So and this is still the same thing.
It's the same thing, and it's so frustrating. And it's just like, so that's one of the interactions that I've had. Yeah, man. It's such a go around, and that's why I wanted to come on here and sort of air it out, because this is something that could be very streamlined, help a lot of people, and you guys are choosing to just keep it archaic.
Are there any are there any benefits to you as the business owner? Other than eventually this person will be certified and might work with you.
They have taken away the apprenticeship subsidy. There was one time I know when I was coming up where they would pay
10 grand.
Up
to 20.
No, when I started, it was actually subsidizing your wage. So it was like 40% of the government would take 40% of that person's wage and they would pay that to the company.
They got rid of that?
They got rid of that. Then they had the $10,000 grant, which happened last. And this is
they got rid of that too.
This is another thing that is they are slowly chipping away at all the incentives, and I think we're at the bottom now. So this is what's happened. Okay, when I went to school, they were subsidizing wages for apprentices. Okay, that is a massive incentive for businesses.
For sure,
there was a ratio at which you needed to pay your guys, which a lot of private business owners pay their guys actually more, because in order to keep them and retain them, we pay a little bit more, okay? And that's totally fine. Then there was the apprenticeship incentive grants.
Yeah.
So I would do my first year, here's $1,000. Second year, here's $1,000. Third year, here's $1,000. And when you write your CQ, here's $2,000, okay? Those kind of just kept you whole. So the way that it worked is your EI bank would be completely full. So when you went on EI for school, that $1,000 would kind of almost mimic your wage. So now you wouldn't be out that money when you went to school.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay? Yeah.
With inflation and everything else, that's no longer the case. I would have loved to see the grants go up. And this is how the government decided to do it. They got rid of the apprenticeship incentive grants. They are no longer viable. There is no longer that money on the table. But here's the best part. We will give you a $16,000 no interest loan.
They're offering loans.
They're offering loans now. 16 grand.
No business owner in today's climate is going to do that.
But no. That's for the apprentice as the individual.
Oh, it's his loan.
It's his loan.
So the government's creating student debt.
Yes. Yes. No interest, 16 grand loan. Here you go. If you're an apprentice, take this. Now, my question is, how are you going to stop one person from not going, I want to be a carpenter. 16 grand, please. You know what? I don't want to be a carpenter. I want to be a plumber. 16 grand, please. I want to be this. 16 grand, please. I want to be a mason. 16 grand, please. Now I got 64K. See ya. I'm going to go live in the Philippines now.
Three-way the world. These little puppies. I'm speaking from experience. I've actually installed these and I love these. Three-way prefabricated inside drywall corner. The first one-piece solution for perfect, crisp corners every time. With three-way, you'll improve your quality, save on labor, and cut down on time. Traditional methods require three tapes, lots of sanding, and high skill. But with three-way corners, they install in just a fraction of the time with fewer steps. It is adjustable for any angle, reinforced to cover gaps, and designed to blend seamlessly into the corner. Say goodbye to pesky touch-ups and hello to flawless finishes. Try three-way today and revolutionize your drywall game. Perfect corners every time. To purchase or check out some how-to videos to see the installs in action, visit threeway.ca or connect with them at 306-514-3768 or drop them an email at threewaytheworld@gmail.com. Connect with me, TCL, and stop by the studio and get a free pack on us for anyone to try. And trust me, I'm telling you, you'll love it. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
And here's the thing. We already saw it with CERB. Yeah. They can't enforce people taking money. And they're like, oh, but you need a registration number. You need a sponsor number. Do you know how easy it is to start a company right now and just say that you're tic-tac-toe carpentry?
Yeah.
And we're taking him on as an apprentice. It costs you less than 16 grand. So again, I would like, when you give somebody a loan, there's no incentive there. The whole reason, like, let's look at the word incentive. The whole reason for the incentive grant is to incentivize apprentices. When you stop doing that, you're no longer incentivizing people. Oh, but don't worry, we're giving them no interest loans. So A, why would I pay it back? And B, when are you gonna kick the interest up on it? Because you have to, because people won't pay that money back, especially in today's climate. So they're not even giving the money that they have anymore. And so you and I have talked about this too. A really good avenue to stay away from student debt is to get into the trades.
Of course.
They're taking that away now. And they're creating that problem again.
I agree with you about how it's almost as if they've actually created more of a workforce internally.
Yes. That's exactly what they've done.
By doing that,
yeah,
they're restricting a growth on a workforce externally.
Yes. That's exactly
what I'm saying is that every school should have it already there set up and you just walk in and fucking sign up.
Yeah.
Or you fill out the forms and you drop the forms right then and there.
We need two governing bodies and one to take over this and then we need all this other.
It's a waste.
No, we don't. We don't need to keep this calling back and forth. We don't need these fucking numbers. Give me the number exactly like you said. Give me the number when I walk in the door.
Are there any grants whatsoever now, or are they all gone?
I haven't looked into it, but when
I think Aaron from Expert is the last one that got one of the last ones.
Last time I checked out the website, they were saying we are taking away the incentive grant. But don't worry, we're getting the no interest loans at 16 grand in there, so you guys can definitely apply for those. So I think that's where all the grant money is going, but it's a loan.
Here's the sad thing. So we did the round table regarding that last round of fund regarding the grants, right? With Ashley. And she was one of many organizations that were pushing the grant and getting employers to seize this grant. And Aaron, luckily, was one of those employees that went through this process, and he appreciated it because he was getting good, viable people that he can train and to build his business. His whole objective is to grow his business, build his business, educate the right people, and move forward with the assistance of government grants, which is great. Here's the sad thing about months went by. I already knew that the deadline for that grant was dead and buried. Even like she gave me a heads up. We didn't hit our numbers. The numbers were too extreme. They were looking to try to get 30,000 new people into the trades. They ended up getting less than 1,500. And that's just not her organization. There was several. I'm sure that if you were even recently at the Concrete Expo show, there was probably about maybe six or seven booths that were still peddling the same. But that was last year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it is now. They were probably peddling the loan now, the interest-free loan, right? Which serves no purpose for the industry. My point, what I'm trying to bring up is that she was focused on pushing and educating and trying to get more businesses to hire, to start this apprentice program. She just moved to a different department. She's actually handling agricultural right now.
Yeah. People are running away from the burning building.
I quickly understand that when someone gets a government job, they're lifers. All they care about is trying to get into another government job. Because they benefit them, but they don't benefit the purpose behind the objectives.
It's
I'm doing a blanket, but I definitely...
No, I. The thing is, I agree with you. Here's where I come at it from, and I even apply this to the politicians of today. I don't believe they go in there with all of that, all of the scandal, all of the embezzling, all of the negativity of a politician. I don't think they start that way.
No, I
think they go in with the best intentions, and then it's the environment that changes them and causes them to adapt. So exactly like you're like Ashley, like you brought up, she's looking at it, and I think Monty even fell victim to this as well. He saw the changing landscape and went, okay, is it worth my soul? And he moved, and he just went, I'm getting out, guys. Like, I'm done. Because he was doing great things for the industry when he was kicking.
Yeah, but meanwhile, so much money. I honestly think that more money is being given to the employment of the people organizing these organizations and I use that word operation loosely than actually money being given.
I would agree, because everybody who's at the top right now doesn't know how to actually do the job.
You spoke to how many different people?
For what?
When you're going through this process for 2 months.
Oh my God. Like I spoke to at least
a dozen
eight.
Or yeah. Eight? Okay. Eight people with a salary of how much on average, maybe?
Anywhere to 80 to 100. 80 is the new 50.
There's more money going into paying these people than there is to attracting the apprentices that want to get their certification.
And you know what? Now we're going to...
That's an unbalance.
And now we're going to indebt them.
Yes.
And the loan
makes no fucking sense.
And the thing
First of all, go to Ukraine and get a lot of that fucking money back.
Seriously, right?
And you can probably put every single child in Canada in an apprentice program.
And one of the things that I also found really crazy is that the OMTC didn't even know the STO was taking over, and that wasn't going to exist. That's what I mean, is it's like you guys are basically all... You're in close proximity. I'm not going to say you're all the same, but you're in close proximity enough that you probably talk to the ministry enough that maybe somebody should mention this, or maybe SEO should reach out.
But each program relies on the other program. If you're telling you who's approaching them to figure out how the process is, then if they're connected, then you guys need to be communicating and connected.
Yeah.
And someone giving the wrong information is bullshit.
So then
it means that you're not educated for that fucking job.
Here's a real good application.
Get out.
When you're doing a build, you want the HVAC guys to talk to the plumbing. You want the plumbing to talk to the electrical. You want the framer to at least, you know, mark out a couple things here and there. The foundation guys need to, you know, show where the drains are going to go. There's communication on site. This is the thing. You're managing an industry that constantly needs to communicate. And the way you're managing it is by not communicating.
Yeah, that's exactly what
that's saying. Bullshit. That's complete bullshit. You guys should meet your job requirements with the same vigor that we do every day. Period. If you're going to manage the industry, be from the industry or at least know what it's about so that we're not met with this back and forth, back and forth. You can't pass the buck that many times.
How much money is the loan?
$16K.
And that's for the whole?
I don't know if that's every year. It was
because we're talking 5 to 7.
Is it five to seven, depending on the hours? No, for Masons, it's 5,600 hours, which is approximately 4 years.
4 years, okay.
Yeah, I can't speak to plumbers or anybody else, but you know,
electricians, I think, and plumbers get up to 7.
Yes, yeah. I think they do. But yeah, like that's the thing is, like, I don't know if it was one lump sum, one shot, which is also dangerous, by the way. Because somebody's going to burn, an apprentice, a 20-year-old apprentice is going to burn through that.
Woo-hoo.
They're not going, yeah.
I know.
They're going to burn through, think of OSAP.
I know.
I know guys who are on OSAP that were buying Xboxes. that's the thing. That's what they use it for. The beer on the weekends and fucking Xboxes, guys. Like, that's what they do. And the other thing, too, is if guys, because there's only so many schools, they might actually be using that loan to pay into rent. I know guys that were renting. Because, like, right now, it's taking me an hour to get from Hamilton to Oakville. I couldn't imagine going into the heart of Mississauga. It's crazy. And, like, and here's, like, another little tidbit. So when, finally, the ministry client ID that was needed by the OMTC, I asked her, well, do I get that from the STO or do I get that from the ministry? And then that's when she said, I don't know who the STO is. And I said, well, let me tell you who the STO is. So these are the guys that are going to be taking over for the ministry in approximately a month, and you're going to be dealing with them instead of the ministry. And she was like, I didn't even know that. And I said, well, there you go. You're the admin for the OMTC. Great. So then she says, yeah, I would talk to the ministry. Contacted my ministry contact for Aaron Cashman, who's been great. Allison, you've been great. And I didn't log into my STO and I didn't have any documentation from the ministry that was like kicked back because, again, I think these things take time to process, like all the documentation. So, and we're already 2 months in and I said, we're looking to sign our apprentice up March 10th of this year. I need my ministry ID number.
Yeah.
She got back to me within a day. Here's your ministry ID number. I don't know where to get that number. I don't know where to get that or where to access it. I also don't know if that's something that she just handles, but she sent it to me via email and I just sent it off to the OMTC and they're like, that's what we need. And I said, okay, that's done.
So right now you're...
So I don't know where the access comes from to find that information.
He's enrolled.
He's enrolled.
Supposed to start for March 10th?
Yes. And they just got me my ministry ID last week. And to add sort of insult to injury, they ask for all of your documentation in terms of like your high school diploma, your university degree, if you have one.
The apprentice?
The apprentice, yeah. Just to sort of know, make sure you've completed high school because I think that's a prereq. So he took a picture on his phone, smallest kilobyte possible, loaded it up to his computer and goes to shoot it through to the SEO portal, who are the people who you're supposed to be reporting to. The site won't take it because it's too big a file. So you're going to have
a basic image off a phone.
So you have technical issues on your end because people are going to be doing this. They're going to be sending you through your portal photos of their stuff because that's what you actually request. And you actually instruct them when they're going through the process to take a picture on your phone and send it to them. So again, where I'm going through is this is an extremely difficult process. Make it easier if you want us to actually get. Yeah,
it's you make it at the school. You advertise and you go, listen, walk into this location. This is where you're going to get your training from.
Yes.
You are required these documents, copies of, bring them with you.
Yes.
And you stand in line and the person inputs and you walk out of there with the numbers that you need and your start date.
Yeah.
Done.
Done.
Fucking done.
Now that's for them. I did a little digging, and again, I'm not going to go too deep into this, but what I heard recently from somebody is that they had a guy come onto their team. I think he has an HVAC tech because he was sick and tired of waiting on the list for plumbing, for his first year of schooling plumbing. So let's just take a little segue here just to show sort of the inefficiencies that's happening all across the board. Because if that's the inefficiency for masonry, carpentry is going to be the same. HVAC is going to be the same. Plumbing is going to be the same. Apparently, the wait list for first year apprentices right now in plumbing is a year.
You guys are probably last, eh?
That's the thing. So it's a year for plumbers. And the thing is, when you sign up as an apprentice, which again takes 2 fucking months apparently, when they sign up for first year apprentice, you go on the list. The wait list is a year. And they only take a select few off every year, which I think it's like 20. And the wait list could be 100. So it's 5 years actually before you do it. The issue with that is your pay never increases because you're always seen as a first year. And you always get the shit end of the stick when it comes to the work. So guys who have been with companies for 3 years are still first years, even though they know more than first years. So then it comes up that they actually get to a point where they're like, fuck it, I'm just going to challenge the test.
I was just going to say.
But they can't do that officially because they don't have the school backing. They just have the practical.
Well, that's stupid.
And the test is all the shit you learn in school, because no one's going to take you and show you gauges and pressurizations and this is why we do it. A very select few. And like I said, we've talked to Angelo. Angelo's a great resource, by the way. Human-sided construction. It's shrinking. All those guys that know that shit, it's shrinking. It's getting far and few between. And those guys are also watching out for their own best interests, taking PM jobs, taking management jobs. Like, they're moving up. Because they have to. Because their bodies aren't able to do it anymore. And they're like, these kids don't want to learn. No, there's no avenue for them to learn.
Attention aspiring tradespeople and entrepreneurs. Looking to break into the skilled trades or start your own home service business? Meet TradeLinks Consulting, your go-to partner for success. At TradeLinks Consulting, they're passionate about helping you find the right trade, build your business, and mentor the next generation. Whether you're exploring your options or ready to take the plunge, they offer tailored career consulting and startup guidance to get you on the right track. Visit them at www.tradelinkconsulting.ca today and book your personalized strategy session. Your future in the skilled trade starts here. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
And again, I fight for my guys. I want to fight for my guy. I want the best for him. And that's my owner mentality, because I'm thinking the more time I invest in him, the better my company is going to do.
That's how it's going to work.
There's people who don't think like that, though. Lots of people that don't think like that. And if you give them an obstacle, they will not overcome it. They'll say, fuck it. Fuck this. Fuck you. Fuck the government.
This needs to change.
It needs to change. And the thing is, I believe it's an avenue that can change. And it would show that whoever gets into power next, it would show that they actually give a shit about us. Because it shouldn't be a job creator. It should be a streamlined process. Period. That's it. It shouldn't be this hard.
Yeah, but it is right now. It's been like this for a while.
Exactly.
I would actually say
it's harder now.
I would get rid of the whole challenging requirements. I go, listen, I'm sorry, but there's lots of smart people that have found the right business and they're being trained by the right people. And then they should be able to be allowed to go in and challenge it, write it, done. You don't need the prerequisites.
And why is someone...
The high school thing, the in-class thing, that no fucking prerequisites. I'm done.
Yeah.
If someone wants to challenge it and write it, shut the fuck up and it's done.
Yeah, that's it.
What's the objective here? Is to get more people into the trades.
Is the objective to get more people working in the trades as the apprenticeship program should be? Or is it just so the government can create more admin jobs?
That's the objective. And that's going the objective
right now.
Yeah.
100% so let's change that narrative. Let's change that, because right now the government process, it's like, it's not helping.
Has it been this way for how long? Are we talking about the last decade?
So I would say...
My point is this a liberal thing?
I don't know. I honestly don't think it's a liberal thing. I don't think it's any government specific. I think that it's been a place where they can place people and create jobs and put bodies that just aren't that competent.
At any time.
And by the way, I'm not talking about the Ministry of Labor. I think that, like, because that's who I got my answers from.
Yeah.
I think this new STO, what they're trying to impose, what I would like to see them do is get rid of the STO and just beef up the Ministry of Labor and get a division that deals strictly for that. And I think that's what they've tried to do, but it's not a competent division right now.
Let me ask you a few questions. All the people you spoke to at all these government bodies, male or female?
Female. Yeah.
I know. Second question. At any point when you were applying for this, did they ask questions?
Oh, sorry. I'll say there was one male. One male? One male. Yeah.
at any point when you're applying for all this shit, at any point that they ask you the person that's applying, the apprentice, their background and their sex?
No.
That was never brought up?
Never brought up.
Okay, that's good.
Because I think when he has a name like Stefan Andich, you know, it's imposed that it's
a white
dude.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a dude.
But it was never brought up by any of the
No, guys. I don't even think, I'm just even trying to think like on the application if there's any of that DEI stuff. I don't think there was any.
Wondering on the wait list for plumbers if that DEI is being factored into that wait list.
Again, I wouldn't know. All I was astounded by is the
fact. I'm just asking questions and just trying to figure out because, I mean, if there's giving preferable treatment to certain races and sexes for an industry that is not the majority of that, then that's a loss in my opinion.
Yeah, I didn't feel any of that when I was applying for that. I think they were really looking. The thing is, they're never against you putting a body in. Do you know what I mean by that? So they're never against you. Like, I actually got a really nice email from Allison, our encashment person. She was like, thank you for advocating for your apprentice. Because I think that a lot of people do get lost in the process and don't bother following up and they walk away.
I would have walked away at the beginning.
How many people would have? But it's like, no, this is what I want. So I'm going to get what I want. That's the type of person I am. But there's so many people that, again, have loads of knowledge better than my own in my trade, but they won't take on apprentices because they're like, I can't deal with the fucking headache. I like, why with all of the shit that I'm constantly dealing with being a small business owner, why would I choose to make my life harder? Right now I have space to make my life harder, so I choose to do that.
But you're slowly not going to have that time space.
Well, the thing is, the next time I do it, it'll be easier. If the process doesn't change, which I hope to God it does.
It's going to change, right?
Which I hope it does.
But is it going to change for the better?
Probably not, because I can tell you that when I was an apprentice, I never went through any of this shit. I just signed a document. I remember we sat down at Tim Hortons. This guy who I only saw once from the Board of College and Trade came in. I sat down with the owner of the company, myself and him, and he went, so you're the new apprentice. Great to meet you. I'm so-and-so. Only time I ever saw him.
See, that could happen at the school.
Here you go. Here's the document. Signed here, here, and here. Boom, boom, boom. Done. Okay, great. I'll see you, Phil. Fucks off. Thanks for the coffee. Done.
So it smells like this system is all just set up for admin.
Yes. Yes. And I don't know why the admin needs to be so big to just put one person through. And I don't, why does everybody need all these numbers? Like, what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of the trading agreement number? What's the purpose of this? And also, why do you need to push it through two government entities that don't talk to each other?
Admin. Government personnel.
Because somebody needs to make a 80 job. And somebody else needs to make
That's
80.
That's why.
And like I said, and then someone's cousin needs to make 80.
I would love to see government admin personnel actually work 8 hours of the day. Actually work 8 hours of the day.
I can tell you with all the wait times that I've had and the calls dropped and all that, they don't. They don't.
They totally don't.
They don't. And the thing is,
after your call, they're like, I'm exhausted.
And it sucks too, because I believe, like, through my experience, the people that were the best were the ministry. They were the ones who I dealt with who were the best at responding and getting back to me. So then why do we need these other guys to take over from you guys, especially when they're going to punt information? They're going to tell me to go back to you guys and punt information back and then demand that I see a supervisor. It makes no sense.
So with OYAP, this is the precursor to all this crap.
Yeah, I think that what they do is they create a channel to navigate all of this. But the thing is, how many high school students, like we constantly hear about this, how many high school students are actually retained? Like, that's the thing. It's like
fraction.
So the thing is, like, so these guys basically go through the OYAP program, create all of this documentation, and basically create the channel and make that whole thing easier on the people who want to sign them up. But for the guys outside of that who they have a better chance with, right, like myself, mm-hmm. who see potential in, like, somebody who's older, who has responsibilities and, like, has their life together and has a car and can show up on time and all that type of things, who wants to invest time in them, they make it extremely hard for us. And that makes zero sense. because we're footing the tax bill at the end of the day.
OEAP is getting too much funding because I can only imagine their admin is increasing as well, too.
It has. And the thing is,
for the return on investment.
Well, and to add to the conversation that we're having now, if they now have to deal with two entities, that means twice the staff, because we gotta be the go-between.
I also still think that an 18-year-old isn't quite ready to get into the system.
No, I don't think so either.
But that's OEAP. That's where their focus, Ontario Youth Apprenticeship Program. So that's their focus. But you're just getting a kid going, listen, I want to be a carpenter. I want to be a plumber. I want to be whatever. Do you really want to? Do you really know that? I think OEAP should be just changed to, like, you're going to get on a site for 6 months and you're going to determine whether you really want to be that trade.
And we'll try to throw you into the pool, but not let you drown.
Yeah.
No, 100%.
And then
that's how they used to be. Cause I remember when I went through OEAP, I brought this up on tons of other podcasts, but it bears repeating. Sundial Homes Program ran out of White Oak School just over here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They had a whole automotive shop. Ford used to actually hire kids out of there.
Mm.
When they were still making cars over here. Because they had a great mechanics program. They were the vocational school of the area in Oakville. I went there. They had a construction program. I signed up when I was 17. They took us through our Working at Heights, our WMIS, and our MSDS sheets. They did all those three things in class. 2 weeks. Here you go. You need hard hats and a boot and a belt. You need a hammer, and we'll provide you with the nails. Okay, guys? If you can get a carpenter square and this and that, we'll do that, but we'll have a tool chest on site. Show up to site. You're going to be working with this guy. He's going to start doing layouts. You do everything this guy says. They had two teachers with us to make sure that they didn't scream at us too hard.
Hmm.
And literally we just, okay, today, guys, we're setting out rafters. Let's go. Here's the rim joist. Here's the thing. We didn't know what we were doing. And these guys had to have patience with us. But hands-on experience on a job site. It's muddy as fuck. When it rains, you got to wear the wellies or your boots cake on. You have to shit in a porta potty. You're 17 years old. This is what it's like.
Give them the experience.
This is what it's like, guys.
I know.
Yeah,
like, but they've taken all that away.
If you're gonna sit at lunch, make sure you have one of those coolers to sit on, because if you don't, and it rains that day, you're gonna be sitting on wet MSDS floorboard. It's gonna suck.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna soak right through you. And if it's cold this day, then you better bundle up. And if it's warm the next, then you better have layers to strip down. That's what they did to us. And then the guys who wanted to go outside of the house building realm, like myself, they found contractors in the area and they said, we will give you somebody for fucking free for 6 hours a day, free. They're young. They want to be in the trade. Here you go. Do you want them? Yeah. Okay. Here you go. They sent me to my first masonry job. So I was pointing joints at 17. And then the guy said, hey, if you stay an extra 2 hours, I'll pay you some money under the table. And I said, great. So now I was working, I was making,
but
like
all that's gone.
Yeah, because I went back to that school after I had my trade, probably a decade later. Again, this program had massive potential to spread to other schools. Even go there, they got him doing pencil popsicle stick houses. This is how you frame, guys. Okay,
man, here's the King Jack. Here's this. Like here's that. Or
yeah.
Like
here's that.
That.
Here's that. You know. Here's a nail. Here's a little. Little trim nailer. Okay. So I go. So what are you guys doing now? Well, no job site will have us because insurances went through the roof. Liability, they can't have us there.
Sign here, waiver.
Exact, right?
If you're stupid, then you get hurt.
Yeah, like
then
seriously.
Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
I really want to audit OEAP. I want to find out how much of that 70 to 80 million is going towards admin.
Honestly, I think that if you were to audit any government body currently,
it's going
to
be disgusting.
It would probably be minimal costing is going to the actual operations.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is getting funneled back into the big Fed or the big municipality.
Yeah.
And it's just paying it back that way. I mean,
but how you get training more people and streamlining the whole process. We shouldn't have plumbers waiting a year to get into the program
for first
to
year.
Start their 7,000.
And the thing is, they only make first year wage, and they could be in that position for 5 years, making first year wage, but have fourth year knowledge. That's wrong.
Yeah, I want to audit them too.
That's wrong. They shouldn't be doing that. And again, when the shitty jobs show up on site, because they're only on paper year, they're given to them, and then they can't retain the guys. They're like, you know what, man? My cousin's in fucking subdivision, and he's just a fucking plumber fix-it guy, and he changes toilets out for $500.
Come on down.
Yeah, fuck it. Fuck this overhead high-rise bullshit.
I don't need to be a master plumber.
Yeah, fuck that. You know what?
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah, you've taken all of the piss and vinegar of me wanting to be. And then what do we have? The future down the line, we have unregulated industry. We have this guy was taught by this guy that was taught by this guy. And then, you know, and then we see more of the videos. I don't know if it's because of the phones that we have nowadays, but you see it, you know, like you see walls falling down and collapsing. You see, you know, when the guys turn on the fucking fan, the fucking drain comes out of the fucking light socket. Like, you start seeing this shit, right? Yeah. And then you're like, oh, well, I wonder why that happens. Oh, that's kind of funny. But then you think about it and you're like, yeah, that comes down to lack of knowledge retention and people not being trained. And then it becomes like a joke, but it's only funny if it's happening to somebody else, you know, like.
Introducing Alt Labor Solutions, the game changer for contractors and laborers. Are you a contractor needing skilled labor, or have labor in need of quick shifts? Or how about buying, selling, or renting tools, material, and equipment? Connect easily with contractors and find resources hassle-free through Alt Labor Solutions online platform. Post job listings with project details, browse public resumes, and choose the right person for the job. Explore their job board for new opportunities and connect with top talent. Alt Labor Solutions revolutionizes the labor industry with a user-friendly interface, secure payments, and a supportive team. Visit them at altlaborsolutions.com and start connecting with other contractors today. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. So what do you have left in the process for you to get?
So right now, where we are is we did it. We got there.
You've got an enrollment date.
Yeah, we got an enrollment date, which is coming up
March 10th. And now he's going to start training.
Yeah, and now he's going to start training. I went to the same school. By the way, all of this stuff that we talked about is no reflection on how the OMTC trains their individuals. The training is good. It's probably gotten better. I've seen some of the projects. Brick Chick, I think, does a little bit out of there too, Julia.
Yeah,
and then it's like, so the training out of there is good. I know what he's going to be taught. So, and it'll be the same stuff as me. So then now we can build on that as we go through the sites, which I'm really looking forward to. So that's where we are in the process, is we have an enrollment date. We have a sponsorship ID number now. And I don't know where the STO falls into all of that. I have no idea.
And then after this is done, you're done as an employer?
What do you mean? Like, I won't take on another apprentice?
No. You're like paperwork-wise getting everything on. Yeah. You're pretty much done.
Yeah, I think so. Unless something comes, like,
I'm asking. I don't know.
I don't know because this is the first time I'm doing it too. This was the entry process.
Now you can bring on another apprentice?
Yes, I can bring on as many apprentices as I want. As a business owner, but I would have to go through the process again.
All over again.
But again, I know how to navigate it now.
What if you got a minivan and I got like 12 apprentices I want to get rolled in? Just fucking duplicate it and get, no? That's too simple.
Yeah, because each one needs an individual number.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yes, that's it. It's not like one number associated with this company gets you this apprentice. No, it's Stefan, in case he goes to another company, needs to take his number and port it over to another company.
For the tracking of the hours?
For the tracking of the hours and the education, yep. And so if I get Dale and I want to sign him up as an apprentice, then I need to go through the whole process again so that they can get his number and then track
him.
You can
fast track that, going, listen, first one's going, well, I'm a business owner. I'm in the system. I've got another apprentice.
Yeah.
I've got another apprentice. Yeah. I keep going back to, what's the objective here? To get more apprentices, isn't it? So let's get that. It's not to pay your fucking salaries as admin people who love government cushy jobs. That's not the objective here.
No.
But that is the objective here.
Well, it's really nice when they can say, oh, no, we're here to help.
Right? Help who? You or us?
Help them.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is I also want to know, I mean, again, I'm stepping out of my realm a little bit here, but I want to know if the process is the same for union companies? Or do they have the admin, do they have to go through the same process and they just hand that off to their admin? Or do they just call the ministry and then they streamline them?
I think they get streamlined.
I think they do too. And it's like, okay, well, if you can do that for them, then do that for us.
If no, you, because they would want most people getting into the trades to go through the union route for obvious reasons.
Yes, there's a lot of taxation. There's this. I understand it. But again, we need to start rethinking about, like, are we in it for the individual bee or are we in it for the hive? Because I would like to be in it for the hive because I'd like to see us grow as a hive. But if you guys, but if we're just going to be met with people all wanting to be individuals and be my own little self, well, we're going to run into these fucking issues. And I don't want that to be the case. I want the next generation to not go through this bureaucracy that they've created. Well, and by the way, I never voted for it.
But you and I both have just streamlined the process just speaking right here, right now.
And I would love to hear the logic and the argument on the other side of the coin. Like, I'm not saying this is a one-sided conversation. Please tell me why we can't do what we just discussed here today. Tell me why that can't happen.
Because you'll have a dozen or so people not working on the government
side.
I honestly believe that's the fucking reason.
And I'm sure there's a metric.
What's the construction joke? What's the construction joke when you see a public sector project and you've got how many people standing around?
One guy's doing the work and 12 people are standing around him.
So criticizing same thing here. You're going to have 12 admin people.
Yep.
Just going back and forth, conversations, phone calls, emails, whatever it is, and one person actually doing the work. Unfortunately, in this scenario, you are the one doing the work.
And here's the thing. I would like to be wrong. I want to be wrong. I don't want to be drawing the conclusions that I'm drawing, but it's really fucking hard, guys, when you're making me jump through all these goddamn hoops. It's really hard. It's really hard not to draw these conclusions.
When's the last time you were at Service Ontario?
Oh God.
Standing in line. I did it recently.
I think I did a passport renewal. And, but the thing is, again, it's just like tax collection. You print off the documents, you sign all the documents, you make sure all your information is correct, and then you go. So you basically do their job, and all they do is take the documents from you, put it in an envelope, and then mail it to somebody else.
They're really good at milking the work schedule.
Yeah.
I've never seen so many people just do things really slowly.
Yeah, because
while you're standing in line.
Yeah, because they're in there for their 8 hours and then they clock the eight hours. And then they move.
Whether we serve 10 people or we serve 100 people,
yeah,
in the 8 hour window,
we get paid the same.
Exactly.
I'm going to
serve 10 people.
There's no incentive for production.
But that's what I think is going on. What's worse is it's going on with this situation, but behind phones. That's why I want to eliminate the protection barriers. That's why I suggested it's at the school. You bring all the documentation, one advertisement, you know, the money that was wasted on Jerkoff Singh's fucking promotional ad there for the boxing thing. That was beauty, by the way, $500,000. I don't understand that one. But take that money and create one advertisement going, do you want to be an apprentice and go through the program and become a Red Seal? Here's the list of documents that you require and show up to the school in your community and this will be processed right away. Wouldn't that fucking be a miracle?
Well, here's the thing. If you guys are really so concerned about the workforce and losing jobs in the government, why don't you station some of the people who are doing this stuff at the vocational schools?
Require them to work.
But it's a government building anyways. So it's not like, so it doesn't matter if you're going into a government building here or a government building there.
I wonder how much of the Canadian government is working remotely.
That's the other thing too. And if you are working remotely, which I think a lot of them are, by the way.
More than half.
Yeah, I would say so. The thing is, when you're signing up apprentices in certain areas, there's different challenges that come with that as well. So like, you know, if you're signing up an apprentice that's in a very rural area and they have to drive into the city, you know, like I couldn't suggest, well, if I just handed it over to the ministry, I would be scared that they'd send them to Ottawa. They'd be like, oh, you're in Stoney Creek? Oh, well, we've got openings in Ottawa. It's like, yeah, but he's in Stony Creek. Don't you think you should go to Mississauga? It's like, oh no, Mississauga's full.
Then open up another facility.
That's what.
But fire 100 people that are working on the admin and open up another facility.
And that's the thing too, is like the long-term effects of this that I see down the line as well is, like you said, like, let's open up another facility. Well, we can't, because the ones that we have right now are trying so hard to survive. Yeah, you know why that is? Because the administration is strangling, is strangling the entry in. And so because they're strangling the entry in, then all of a sudden these schools don't meet their budget requirements. So then their budgets drop and they're like, why are we making more? And then all of a sudden the school shuts down. So you, and then they're like, oh, I wonder why that happened. Because the fucking entryway is this fucking small. That's why. And then you're like, and then you sit there wondering and contemplating, oh, well, you know, why did that happen? Oh, we didn't see this coming. It's like, yeah, because you're fucking short-sighted. You didn't streamline the process and you didn't make it easy for people to actually get in here. So now your schools are all suffering. Your government buildings are all suffering. And the thing is, when people make more money, they pay more tax. So you're actually hurting yourself in the end too.
I've got another suggestion. Instead of us building more schools, why don't we get tradespeople that are established? For example, Sam the plumber out of Oakville area.
Yep.
Been in the business 40 years or so. He goes in for an interview and he goes, I want to be a recommended school type of thing, where he takes the kid under the wing and his 9,000 goes under him. He vouches for him. Isn't that kind of like what the union is already doing with the streamlining and what they do? They get it into the population and that's what they're starting. But I'm saying, instead of the kid going to the school, the kid goes to the site and he's taught by the master plumber.
That's how it used to be. It's not that case anymore. And it's like, and that's again,
a good fucking case though.
Well, the thing is though, that's how it used to be when I was going through my vocational training, was they would line you up with people in the area that were working. There was a list of contractors they would call on your behalf and they would say, hey, we have a kid free. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that incentive. And the guy goes, a free fucking body?
Come on down.
Why not? And the thing is too, if you're a shitty kid and you're shithead, we don't want him. Didn't cost me anything.
No.
And fuck that kid. Yeah. Like, seriously. Yeah,
it's done.
It's done. And then that guy has to now really contemplate on his life. Oh, he's a shitty guy. I didn't like working. I didn't like waking up at 6:30 in the morning. Okay. Mm. Well, guess what?
You're isn't not here for anymore. You. You're gone.
Yeah. It's not for you, done. Man. Every vocational school that I went through, there was, it was pressurized. And what I mean by that is they didn't come off like, they weren't coming off like, we need you. It was like, it was almost like, you're here on your own merit and you make it. You have to make it. If you don't do that, you're gone. And guess what? No one cares. When I went to White Oaks, you had to show up every day on site. 4 days late, done for the program. You don't get your 6 credits.
That's good.
That's it.
Simple.
So you have to show
up. Call life.
You have to show up, not be high, not be drunk from the night before. Seriously, like I know we were like 17, but still, you know, and it's like, you know, you can't do these things. And if you show up 4 times and you're late or you're high or you're unfit for work, bye, gone, see ya. And oh, by the way, you're now repeating grade 12. So there's the consequences of life. Have a nice time. Then when I went to college in Algonquin, every single semester was a prerequisite for the next one. So you had to pass every single program. That was math, that was your architecture, that was your drafting, that was all that stuff. And if you didn't pass one, see ya. You don't get into second term. But I tried really hard. Don't give a fuck.
You should have tried harder.
Oh, you weren't good at math? Well, we had tutoring twice a week. We made the avenue and you chose not to show up because you want to buy an Xbox off of OSAP.
Are you ready to apply for your second one?
For my second apprentice? I would say I'm probably more ready now because at least I know the process. So it's the devil I know right now.
But do you think it's going to be faster? Still got to go through the hoops.
I think it'll still go through the hoops. I think what'll happen is, and this isn't how it should be, but I will adapt, if that makes sense. So it's like when I start the process of signing them up, I will already have in my mind that it has to take 2 months in order for me to do it. And do it. I know, but prove me wrong. That's the thing. If anybody from the ministry, if anybody's
listening, it's going to take you 2 months. Realistically, you're preparing for that, and it probably will take 2 months.
But what am I going to do? Show up and fucking bomb out there, like bomb out the place? No, I can't do that. That's not going to get me the results I need.
No, just start handing out pink slips to admin people that are not doing shit.
But then I got to fucking sacrifice my business and then be that crazy guy hanging out pink. Also, right now, I think the government's kind of acting too big to fail. And
if you think so?
Oh, yeah. I think that they are doing, like, to us as citizens, I think it's kind of like...
Oh, you're not talking about the construction industry in general.
No. I'm just talking about the government entities and bodies right now. It's kind of like, okay, Mark, you have these problems. Yeah, you have your solutions. Okay, well, go talk to your MP who will talk to this guy, who will talk to this guy, who maybe invokes a little bit of change. Maybe. Okay? And I'm going, okay, that's great. But you do understand that, like, the next Prime Minister of Canada is screaming and talking about how he loves all tradespeople and how we need tradespeople. And the Ontario Premier is going, oh, we need more trades and we need more billions. Like, so don't you think that you should treat us a little bit nicer and I shouldn't have to go through all of this hoops? Well, that's process. And who fucking voted for that? You know, and who, and by the way, while we're on the subject, who voted to get the incentive grants off the table? Who decided that was a good idea?
Because we need to send money to Ukraine. Printed money, debt money.
But here's the other thing. I also believe that because it's trades and because it's education and because it's always fall by the wayside, I believe no one's looking.
Oh, I totally
And that's why that. I'm really happy for this platform to sort of air my grievances. I know totally it sounds like I'm just...
No.
I know it sounds like maybe I'm just bitching, no. But it's like this...
This is a reality.
This is a reality of things. I wish it wasn't so. That's the thing is deep down in my heart, I wish this wasn't the case. No,
and you're an individual that actually cares about the industry and you're actually trying. You volunteered to get your employee through this process so then he can get certified.
Thick or thin.
And if you're talking about businesses that don't really give a shit, they would never have done a fraction of what you did. They would have walked away. Now multiply that. How many people have walked away versus how many people have stuck that out through you?
I think we could talk.
There's definitely an imbalance.
We could definitely talk to Angelo about that, and he'd probably have numbers on it because he talks about construction retention, employee retention so much in all of his stuff. And yeah, like that's just where I'm coming from is I'm going, you know, I think I'm a pretty good company. I think I'm a pretty good person. I also think I'm very resilient and I have all these qualities that make me me. And I'm going, if somebody was lesser in some of these qualities, they would just give up.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it wouldn't be their fault. That's the thing. It would be the fault of the system.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's why I felt like kind of coming on here and just sort of airing out what the reality of it actually is, because I'm sure there's somebody out there right now who's involved in this process is patting themselves on the back going, I can't believe we're going to give these guys $16,000 loans. Isn't that so great for them?
Protect your investment one drop at a time. Your home or project deserves the very best when it comes to waterproofing. Trust nothing less than the service that guarantees you peace of mind and lasting protection. Meet Antonio, the expert behind AquaStop waterproofing. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to keep your basement dry or a contractor in search of a reliable partner, Antonio and his skilled team deliver unparalleled quality and service. From the first site assessment to the final backfill, every detail is handled with precision, ensuring your project is completed on time, on budget, and to the highest standard. Antonio's team doesn't just solve problems, they prevent them. With a proven track record of working with insurance companies, educating clients, and using the best products available, AquaStop Waterproofing offers a solution you can depend on for years to come. Experience the difference with a team committed to excellence. Antonio and AquaStop Waterproofing are your go-to professionals for all things waterproofing. Get in touch with AquaStop Waterproofing today at 647-631-4144 or visit them at www.aquastopwaterproofing.ca. For direct inquiries, email Antonio at antonio@aquastopwaterproofing.ca. Let's make sure your property stays safe and sound, rain or shine. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. No, it's not.
You know,
who's saying that that's a great idea? Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. You know, oh, we're doing so well by the apprentices. You know, we can't.
You
we
know
can't
what talk you're going to do? Like you said earlier, they're going to just increase the underground economy. So you're going to get people who say, I don't give a shit about the Red Seal. I'm still going to run
the business. Well, that's the thing is that's already happening.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of guys out
there. It's happening for good reasons. I'm not faulting them. I'm like, I'd be doing the same thing too.
Well, we're outlining the process in order to do things right. And that's the thing.
I've had the same similar conversation about a GC needing to get licensed now to do work in different cities that he normally didn't work in. And then he had to basically get permission. He had to kiss the ring. And it was the same thing. He would go to the city. And at first he started with phone calls and emails and online. Then he was just like, I'm just going to walk right in and talk to them. Then he was literally spending days traveling from one city, going to another city that he has a license because they needed a copy. But it had to be a copy that came from the organization, not a printed copy from you.
And meanwhile...
He's trying to provide economy into a different city.
Who does that benefit? I ask myself, who does the bureaucracy benefit?
It benefits the admin people who don't belong there to begin with.
It creates obstacles. It creates all this stuff. And like I said, and I'll die on this hill, government's only job is to create prosperity of its people. If it does not do that, it is no government.
I've got a suggestion. I say we spend one full year, no government. And see how we govern ourselves.
I think what's happened is, just looking at this process, is when things go unchecked, that's when decay starts to form. And now we are all experiencing, like, you know, you can take this, we can go extrapolate it, right? Because we never really thought about our international trade relations and just thought the States would always be our friend, that decay is now showing. Mm-hmm. Because we thought when the government screamed, we need more houses, that building materials and suppliers would come back to Canada. Now we're realizing that they've been shipping to the States all along, and that's showing the decay. Mm-hmm. And now I'm experiencing the decay as a small business owner when I want to better my people and get them trained and go through the proper steps and processes so that they can be in a regulated industry, so that they can show me that they have a base knowledge of what we actually do as a masonry company. And now that's showing its decay, and it's right in my face right now. And when things go unchecked like this, until we say something about it, it'll just continue to erode.
And it is.
And it is. There's no reason why it should have gotten this. I would actually say that when I signed up, the process was better than it is now. But because no one is checking it and everybody's passing the buck back and forth and everybody's accepting it, that's the other thing too. So instead of being shame on me for accepting it, I'm bringing it to the table because I'm done with that. I don't want to do that anymore.
Let me know how the second one goes.
For sure.
I think it's going to be a shame that if it takes 2 months, because you figure that it would take half as long, maybe even a fraction of it, but
it's going to be
take as long as it's supposed to take.
It's going
to
be determined. And this is something I've learned, is it's when you're working, even when you're working on site with other trades, it's determined by the movement of the other people.
Yeah.
And again, I just
collective.
Wish, yeah. And I just wish that people would sort of like stop thinking of themselves as an individual and understand that like these things have ripple effects. I mean, we could go down the street of also like permits, for example. It's like that holds up so much. And my dad and I were just talking about this really briefly when he was, because we got a place up in Bancroft, same permit, lifted our cottage, put a basement in. It took them 2 weeks to get us the permit. Paid us $800. Here's the permit, drawings, stamped, everything else. Why is it taking 9 months to a year for building in Toronto? As soon as that engineer stamp goes onto your drawings, they assume the liability.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Why does the city need to look at it? First of all, half of the tradesmen out there, some of them never look at drawings, okay? So what gives you, even if you're an engineer, most engineering firms, okay, they have one good engineer who actually knows how to read everything. Then they have the mechanicals and all that, and they break that all down. Okay, yeah, it's got to go down 5 departments. What makes you think the government hires the best engineers?
They don't.
They don't. Because everybody else, even the accountants, even privatized accountants know this. You go to the CRA to die as a government worker. You don't go to the CRA to be an accountant.
No.
You go into private accounting to fight the CRA because you're smarter than they are.
Yeah.
It's the same thing for engineers.
What I would do if I was running as a platform regarding main, like fast tracking permits, I would say every permit must be issued within 30 days. No ifs, ands, or but. And every single day that is delayed, an employee of the government in that building department gets fired.
I don't know if you could go with the fire to extremes just because of like all that other stuff, but I do think that there should be a deadline on it. And I do think it should be like, I'll give you an example. Snow removal guys, because they've been working overtime right now. We plowed 1 year. Our contract was for, we had to plow within 6 hours and have it done by 6 to 8 hours of it snowing a certain amount. Okay.
Of it starting to snow or finish starting to snow?
Starting to snow, yeah. So we would sometimes do twice on a route, okay? That's private. That's private business,
okay?
The snow removal companies right now, I think it's in the city of Burlington, they have up to 21 days with all of the equipment to clear the snow to an adequate thing and to make sure the sidewalks are clear.
21 days.
I got 6 to 8 hours. And a double route.
That's fucked.
For like a privatized thing like that. That's
why it hasn't been cleared.
Who the fuck is navigating these things?
Who's writing these contract? Well, I know exactly what it is. It's all kickbacks and shit. They're just like, listen, you need to give us 21 days.
And here's the thing. Until I've been told, like you said, it's about kickbacks. It's about this. It's about that. Until you show me differently.
It's what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah, exactly what it is.
It's exactly what it is.
Because they don't need to pay the people going out there to clear it. Because most likely Mother Nature will take care of it. It's already being taken care of.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like, I don't want to be this cynical. I don't want to be that person who's thinking every time I go to a government entity, this is just some sandbagger not doing their job, not like, getting a full fucking ride pension, all that stuff. I want to call them and I want to be happy. I want to be like, thank God there's this person taking care of this stuff on the end so that all the registrations just go through really smoothly. And then for the rest of my apprentice's life, it will just be fucking peaches and rainbows. That's what I want.
I haven't had a peach in forever.
It's not season yet. We'll see if we get
them. Unless you go down to Atlanta. They have peaches everywhere there.
I've been propositioned a couple of times about going down to the States. You know, you could start your business down there. And I'm like,
well, I know a lot of people that have done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, good.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, I think the environment, the challenges we're experiencing now, I like focusing on those. And it's like, I'm sure down there, there's certain things that are better, but I'm also sure that there's a lot of other challenges as well that come with it as well.
For sure.
It kind of all balances out. I guess, again, kind of bringing back to the subject of this, it's like this, what we're talking about is very entry level stuff and it should not be this difficult, especially in the age of email, online forms, DocuSign, all of this shit. It should be very straightforward and clear, but it's not. It's like, here's the right angle triangle. You can go short here, but instead we're going the fucking, like.
I picture walking into those government admin offices where you're hearing that, perforated printer sound,
the fax machine
sound.
Yeah,
I picture
and the phone ringing and no one answering it.
I just like this. Why all does the music dial have to up, suck? Shit like that. Like it's just I picture all this archaic way of doing things, but it's not like that. They probably have the best tools, the best everything, but it's the person in between the keyboard and the chair.
I mean, I'm going to rag on government entities just a little bit more, but I remember talking to a guy who was actually at WSIB and he was one of the claims guys. And I asked him, I said, listen, man, I said, you gotta clear this up for me. I said, did you just tell me that sometimes there's four guys sitting in your office playing fucking Counter-Strike online?
Probably.
Or like Warzone or COD probably. Or something. And he's like, yeah, because sometimes it's dead. And I said,
it's not dead.
And those guys are fucking making how much? And he's like, yeah they're making like $25 an hour. And they just.
You get a job doing. Like that. It's a great job. You work nothing and you get everything.
I mean,
you do nothing.
But here's the thing too, is like, is privatization the solution? And here's where, again, I'm not a bad person. And I'm trying really hard not to be. But it's like, well, when you privatize something and you attach government to it, the thing is you want that person to act like the governing body outside of yourself. So then what they do is they know what government charges and what their budget is, and they charge accordingly. If you want to talk about like saving money and stuff like that, because again, I'm also navigating like things with City of Hamilton, and you know, I'm trying to get into bigger historical projects and that type of thing. And there's like, I've ran into it. Oh, we only have a selected amount of, we only have selected contractors that we use for these projects.
Oh, and we talked about that recently.
And I go, well, yeah, we're on the list for the City of Hamilton. Yeah, but then they're like, oh, but this is the thing, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, okay, when you guys first started with these guys, okay, they were probably mid to small. Now they've grown, so has their overhead, okay? And you guys have kept them on the list because, again, the fax machine hasn't been replaced, so why would the contractor list be replaced, all right? So they do this with the same method, and then next thing you know, they're like, oh, yeah, these guys are like four times what some other person would charge us, but because they're on the list, we go with them. And again, it's one of these things where I think we need to start looking at things on the entry level. You got two ways of going about it. You can go from the top down, which I actually think is a lot taller these days just because mm-hmm. of bureaucracy. Like you go, you hit the PM and then he does it. And then by the time it comes here, it's like, it's just so watered down that you have somebody's, you know, cousin twice removed working on it. I hate to keep on saying that. I really think that, how about we go on this one? It's really simple. Start from the bottom, make that process streamlined like we discussed today, and just slowly work it. Because the thing is, a lot more people are coming in here. It's difficult to shoot for the top.
I agree.
And it's and like I said, that building's just keep on getting fucking taller. I'd rather just take it out of the knees. So
good luck with it, Mark.
Thank you.
Let me know about the second one if you ever get to that point.
For sure.
And let me know about this first one.
Yeah.
When it gets rolling, because it's happening in a week and a half.
Yeah, he goes in a week. Yeah, in about a week he starts. And honestly, there's not much paperwork. He's going to get some packets, get a textbook. They're going to review tools from like what I remember from my first year. They're going to show him how to spread mortar, cut block with a hammer, all that type of stuff. Get him to build a wall, a couple projects. They do that all in the shop. He's going to spend 4 hours in class where he's probably going to fall asleep because a lot of guys do, and 4 hours in the shop. And then it's going to be that intensive. And he's going to be back to me May 5th. And we're already starting to load up for the season. So
what are they teaching in class? Is it mostly structural?
So what they'll do is they'll take you through a packet of all different kinds of tools that you're going to use, like proper names for stuff, because like guys don't call them the way they were. So like jointers, trowels,
oh, okay, I got it.
That type of stuff. Then they'll probably take him through his working at heights training, as well as his WMIS as well while he's in classroom. Then there's also a square footage calculation and trig portion mm-hmm. as well. So there's a math aspect to it that they'll step them all through for like just calculating square footage of walls, estimating block walls, that type of thing. Like if it's this high by this high, how many joints, what kind of reinforcements, they'll get them to do all that. I think that's pretty much it. There's some, not really, they call it theory, but it's not really that. It'll probably be more like, that's more second year. Second year is like you build the archway out of block and then you put the brick in front of it and then you tie all the brick in with all the brick ties. And so
yeah, but I can see the practical making a lot of sense.
Yes.
But theory in classroom,
well, the theory is
how much can you absorb there, right?
Well, the theory is just knowing what the name is for certain tools, how to load out a site properly, like how to actually like move materials and get them close to your masons and stuff like that, because a lot of guys will still be in the helping process as
yeah.
well. And then they'll talk about it there and then they'll actually do it.
Okay.
So like there's that
got it. Aspect. All right.
And then arch theory is actually there's really cool old school ways to cut arches because they didn't use math back in the day.
Yeah.
But now they've gotten more precise and they'll go through like, okay, this is how you calculate like a Roman arch, a Gothic arch. These are the different styles of arches. This is where you'll see them in certain buildings. And then they'll go through like, you know, this is how you cut a block, do all the calculations for that. You'll calculate out what your arch is that you're actually gonna build, cut all the block, install it, then they'll go back, talk about a brick arch.
What's an arch called, like when you just do a slight curve and then it comes down?
So there's a lot. So there's a segmented, there's a camber.
That's a camber?
Yeah. A camber has like a slight curvature to it.
And then it turns 90 and it goes down.
Generally it splays, and then the other one is a jack arch. A jack arch is 90. Jack arch is the one where it's like a box and it splays at the top of the brick.
Okay.
Yeah.
So but a slight arch on the top
is
of
a camber, I believe. Okay, yeah. The traditional bricklayer, he does a bunch of them in the UK. So he's great. Yeah. He's fantastic. Dean Neal, I think his name is. He's a fantastic guy. And I've reached out to him a couple times and he's gotten back to me. But he does like traditional London Flemish bond, double brick with walls, all that type of stuff. And he's fantastic.
Traditional.
Traditional brickwork. I believe that's what his name is. But yeah.
Brickwork. Why is nothing coming up? I gotta find it.
Yeah. So no, he does awesome stuff. There's the camber,
bricklayer or brick?
Bricklayer, yeah.
John.
Dean, I think his name.
Oh, this guy is John. Oh. Dean, here it is.
Yeah.
The_traditional_bricklayer.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. He's a wealth of knowledge. He's been doing it. He's a great guy. And then, yeah. But that's what they'll do for their second year is they do the arch project. And then I think the third year, that's when they build the fireplace and chimney. And so they'll learn refractory, parging a smoke chamber, building a firebox, generally a Rumford, and then do all the stonework in front, brick out the back, learn where the vents go, do all their calculations for all that. And yeah. So then when he comes to me, he'll know how to move his trowel a bit better, understand mud consistencies. That's what, like, the OMCC training is fantastic. It's really great.
It's just getting over this bullshit.
That's the thing.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure to see you, man. We're out of here.